We're beginning here, five lines down on the top of Kuf Amud Aleph. The Gemara just finished discussing the machloket Rav Huna and Rav Papa as to the attribution of authorship of our Mishnah. Rav Papa had suggested possibly our Mishnah could be even according to Rav Yehuda, who believes not only on Erev Pesach, but on Erev Shabbat and Erev Yom Tov, you're not allowed to start a meal late on the day because it's pogeya in Kvod Shabbat and Kvod Yom Tov. And why does the Mishnah specify Erev Pesach? It's because on Erev Pesach, you would have to stop a little earlier than Erev Shabbat and Erev Yom Tov. The Gemara brought a Braita, which seems to indicate that that is not the case, and that Rabbi Yehuda has the same opinion by Erev Pesach as he has by Erev Shabbat and Erev Yom Tov. And therefore, the Gemara dismissed the possibility that Rav Papa's explanation is the correct explanation, and went back to Rav Huna's explanation, which is that the machloket Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi, with regards to Erev Shabbat and Erev Yom Tov, whereby, according to Rabbi Yehuda, you have to be mafsik early in the day, samoch lemincha, both by Shabbat Yom Tov and by Pesach, and Rabbi Yossi disagrees by Shabbat and Yom Tov, but he does agree, according to Rav Huna, with regards to Pesach, that, like Rabbi Yehuda, who says you have to stop early, here you have to stop early as well, as the Rashbam quoted in yesterday's daf, because of the matzah. Matzah is a unique mitzvah that requires to be eaten be teavon, and that's part of the Hidura mitzvah, and that's something that we want to make sure takes place on Pesach, and therefore even Rabbi Yossi will agree on Erev Pesach that you have to mafsik your achila earlier, and yesterday we discussed some of the possibilities as to what's different between Shabbat, Yom Tov, and Pesach with regards to the necessity to have a hafsakah according to Rabbi Yossi only by Pesach, and not by Shabbat and Yom Tov. So the Gemara says, Rav Huna minecha. Rav Huna's explanation, is it really so plausible with regards to the Mishnah? V'ha amar Rabbi Yirmi, amar Rabbi Yochanan. V'itema amar Rabbi Bo, amar Rabbi Yossi, bar Rabbi Chanina. So this itema will become important. The first memra is Rabbi Yirmi on the name of Rabbi Yochanan. The second one does not have Rabbi Yochanan mentioned in it. It's only Rabbi Bo, amar Rabbi Yossi, bar Rabbi Chanina. That will have nafkaminot later on because generally the locha is like Rabbi Yochanan versus other Amoraim of his contemporaries or of his peers, whereas in the second version, Rabbi Yochanan does not appear, and therefore it might change where we think the halacha goes in this situation. But he said, halacha ki Rabbi Yehuda b'Erev Pesach, halacha ki Rabbi Yossi b'Erev Shabbat. Halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda on Erev Pesach, that you have to be mafsik early and you can't eat later in the day, whereas halacha is like Rabbi Yossi on Erev Shabbat, and we would assume the same by Yom Tov, that halacha is like Rabbi Yossi that you do not have to be mafsik going into them. So now, the fact that halacha ki Rabbi Yehuda b'Erev Pesach, the fact that he has to say the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda on Erev Pesach, michlal de polig Rabbi Yossi b'tarvayu. That makes it sound like Rabbi Yossi argues in both cases, meaning that Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi argue across the board, and now we're saying that the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda with regards to Erev Pesach, and the halacha is like Rabbi Yossi with regards to Erev Shabbat and Erev Yom Tov. But if Rabbi Yossi also argues by Erev Pesach, then he can't be the author of our Mishnah, because he disagrees with what our Mishnah is saying. And therefore, this would be a problem for Rav Huna's explanation, where it says, lo, don't explain it that way. Hakalocha michlau de plige b'hafsoko. There's another machloka between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda, which we're about to see, whereby they also have an opinion with regards to Shabbat, Yom Tov, and Pesach. And therefore, the statement that we just made was referencing to this machloket, not the machloket about Erev Shabbat and Erev Yom Tov. So Ein Hachanami, with regards to Erev Shabbat and Erev Yom Tov, there is a machloket Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yossi believes you don't have to stop, you can eat all the way into Shabbat, all the way into Yom Tov, whereas Rabbi Yehuda believes you have to stop samuch l'mincha. With regards to Erev Pesach, Rabbi Yossi agrees with Rabbi Yehuda, and our Mishnah is authored by Rabbi Yossi. So what about this statement that we just had here from Rabbi Yochanan, or the other version from Rabbi Yossi but Rabbi Chanina, with regards to this machloket between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi, where he's paskening like Rabbi Yossi with regards to Erev Shabbat and Erev Yom Tov, and like Rabbi Yehuda with regards to Erev Shabbat, which seems to imply that they argue across the board. That has to do with an issue of hafsakah, stopping. If someone is already eating, they started beheter. That means according to Rabbi Yehuda, you started before samuch lemincha, or according to Rabbi Yossi, if it's not Pesach, that you've started any time on Erev Shabbat and Erev Yom Tov, and now it's Shabbat. Or now it's Yom Tov. You reach that point. Do you have to stop the meal at that point? And that's the Tanya. We have a Braita. Tosafot brings a possibility, Kid Tanya, like we have in a Braita, because the Gemara here is trying to bring a proof that this has application more broadly than just what's mentioned in the Braita, and therefore it would be Kid Tanya, similar to what we have in the Braita. Although, he then does bring a defense for keeping it as Ditanya, that we have a Braita that says this, which is that the latter path of the Braita is generic with regards to Rabbi Yossi's opinion, and therefore it could have application broader than just Shabbat. It could apply to Yom Tov, it could apply to Pesach as well. If that's the case, the Tanya, the Braita, is supporting our contention over here, which is mafsikin l'shabbatot. According to Rabbi Yehuda, if you started beheter, that means for him, you started before samuch l'mincha, and you continued to eat all the way till Shabbat, then you have to stop your meal when you reach Shabbat. You have to bench, and then you have to make kiddush. Then you start a new meal for kavod haShabbat. You can't continue the meal that you're in currently. Rabbi Yossi Omer, ein mafsikim. You do not have to stop the meal. According to Rabbi Yossi, on Erev Shabbat and Erev Yom Tov, you can start as late as you want in the day, and then ein mafsikim, you don't have to stop that meal. That seems somewhat obvious. If you could start the meal very late in the day, then obviously you could just continue into Shabbat. Otherwise, what would be the point of starting the meal a minute before Shabbat, 2 minutes before Shabbat? And that's what Rabbi Chilmi Paris says is, ein mafsikim means even on Pesach, where Rabbi Yossi agrees on Erev Pesach that you have to start before Samuch L'mincha in order to be behet there, even there he says ein mafsikim. If you're coming into Shabbat and Yom Tov, or more importantly into Pesach, and you're in the middle of the meal, you do not need to stop the meal. You continue the meal and finish the meal. Now Tosafot says, well then how does that exactly work? You finish up the meal, then you bench, and now what are you doing about Sudat Shabbat? Because you're going to make Kiddush afterwards. So Tosafot says, okay, you'll make Kiddush after you've said Birkat HaMazon. He brings another opinion, which we'll see later in the Gemara, that maybe first he should make Kiddush and then Birkat HaMazon, because the coast shall Birkat HaMazon. You need to drink, and you can't drink it until you've made Kiddush. So maybe you should make Kiddush first, then say Birkat HaMazon, and that'll be your Kiddush for Shabbat. Tosafot says, well then how does that work exactly? Because you need Kiddush B'makom Suda. You have to make Kiddush, as we'll see in tomorrow's daf, in a place where there is a Suda, or the Kiddush is connected to a Suda. Over here, you're just going to make Kiddush, and that's the end of the night. So Tosafot says that here, retroactively, the Kiddush is on the Suda that you just finished. Kiddush v'makom Suda doesn't mean you have to take the Kiddush before you begin the Suda. It could be even after you finish the Suda. When you make that Kiddush at the end, that retroactively makes the Suda that you ate on Shabbat, or continued into Shabbat, relevant for Kiddush v'makom Suda. So Tosafot says that works well for Shabbat. But here, we're saying this even as application by Pesach, where he needs to drink the Arba Kosot. So how exactly does that work if you have to have the Arba Kosot? So Tosafot says, you'll do the Arba Kosot after benching, but you'll do it out of order. And that is, you'll bench first, say the Bori Pri HaGafen on that cup, then you'll say Kiddush, and have Bori Pri HaGafen, that'll be your two Kosot, those are two out of the four Kosot on the night of Pesach. Again, according to the opinion that thinks that you have to make Kiddush first and then Birkat HaMazon, then there'll be more in order than the other way around, but they'll still be out of order. Then after that, you will eat your Yirakot and say the Manishtana and have your third cup over the Sipur Yitzat Mitzrayim. And then you'll do Hallel and you have your fourth cup over the Hallel. And so Tosafot says you'll have an out of order Arba Kosot, but you'll still do the Arba Kosot after you finished your meal. So it's interesting, you won't have the meal break up the Arba Kosot in the middle. Rather, the meal will take place prior, and the Kiddush Makom Suda will be because it's adjacent, the Kiddush, to the meal that you just finished. And in that way, according to Rabbi Yossi, you will accomplish both Kiddush Makom Suda as well as the Arba Kosot on the night of Pesach. So this is a machloka between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi. And on that, the Gemara is such as suggesting now that Rabbi Yochanan or Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina is saying that the Alocha is like Rabbi Yossi on Erev Shabbat and Erev Yom Tov, that you do not have to stop. Whereas with regards to Pesach, or Erev Pesach, you do have to be mafsik, and the Alocha is like Rabbi Yehuda. Now the Gemara brings an incident, Masi Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Be Rabbi Yehuda, Be Rabbi Yossi. Now Rabbi Yehuda here is in parentheses because there are some, like the Baal HaMor, that believe that Rabbi Yehuda was not actually present at the meal, but he was actually coming later to the meal, and he wasn't present when this discussion took place. The way that we have the Gersa in the Gemara, he was actually present at the meal. It says that the three of them were Misubim Ba'ako. They were having a meal on Ako, and it seems to be that it was Erev Shabbat, Erev Yom Tov, Kidei Shalem Ayom. And while they're in the middle of the meal, Shabbat comes in, or Yom Tov comes in. Amarle Rabbi Shimon Gamliel to Rabbi Yossi Beribi. So Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says to Rabbi Yossi Beribi, here is a title of the Gadol Hador. It says, Ritzoncha Nafsik, should we stop now? Rabbi Yossi believes, Ein Mafsikin. So why is Rabbi Shimon Gamliel asking Rabbi Yossi if he wants to stop? Because, V'nechush L'divrei Rabbi Yehuda Chavireinu. Because we will at least be respectful or considerate of Rabbi Yehuda, our peer, our contemporary. Now, some like the Baal HaMor take out the word L'divrei, because it's not about his position, it's about Rabbi Yehuda himself. V'nechush Yehuda Chavireinu. And let us be considerate of Rabbi Yehuda, who stopped eating now, because that's his position. So should we then join him, so that he can bench, because that's what he thinks you need to do now. So Amar Lo, so Rabbi Yossi responds to him, B'chol yom v'yom ata mechabev divarai lifnei Rabbi Yehuda. Every other day, you give precedence to my position above the position of Rabbi Yehuda. And that's based, we know, on the Gemara in Erevin that says that when it comes to a machloka between Rabbi Yossi bar Achalafta and Rabbi Yehuda bar Eli, who are Stam Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda in the Gemara, halacha ki Rabbi Yossi. And Rabbi Shimon Gamliel gave that deference to Rabbi Yossi Psak in every other situation. And now you want to have paskin like Rabbi Yehuda in front of me. The line that Achashverosh says to Haman when Esther discloses the fact that Haman is trying to kill her and her nation. And then when Haman comes to beg for his life from her, and Achashverosh returns to the room and sees Haman lying by the bed with Esther, he says, Gam lichvoshet ha-malkai mi babayit. How could you act in this way? After you're trying to kill her, now you're trying to take her away or seduce her right in front of me? And over here, the meaning would be, how could you, in front of me, paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, when you know that I don't feel that way? Or, Hagvoshet HaMalka, Malka could be a reference to the Malka of Shabbat, and Hagam Lekvoshet HaMalka Yimi Babayit. Do you want to make the Psak Alocha with regards to Shabbat right in front of me, against my position? So Amalei, Im Kain. So now Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, now that Rabbi Yossi explicitly said that he demurs, Im Kein Lo Nafsik, then we're not going to stop, Shema Yiru HaTalmidim, V'Kavu Halacha HaDorot, because maybe the Talmidim will see what we're doing, and they'll get the mistaken impression that the Halacha is this way. Meaning, had Rabbi Yossi not disagreed, or not demurred in this situation, then we would have just said that they were doing this out of deference or respect for Rabbi Yehuda. Now that Rabbi Yossi spoke up and says that he feels that it is not the halacha this way and it's inappropriate, then if we continue despite Rabbi Yossi's statement, that would be an indication that the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda and not like Rabbi Yossi. And now we have to follow Rabbi Yossi's position. And therefore they continue the meal and they were koveil halacha like Rabbi Yossi. So now over here, there's some question as to what the psak halacha should be. I'm going to defer speaking about it, both the Rashbam and the Balei HaTosafot speak about it in this case, but we're going to defer speaking about it because part of the question relates to the upcoming Gemara, as to how do we paskin. And that is, the Gemara continues, Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Ein Halacha Loka Rabbi Yehuda, Veloka Rabbi Yossi. The Halacha is neither like Rabbi Yehuda, nor like Rabbi Yossi with regards to be mafsik the meal, Ela Pores Mapa Umikadesh. You put a cover on whatever the meal is, and you make Kiddush. It's not clear here which Tana Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel is following. He's saying, the halacha is not like Rabbi Yehuda, not like Rabbi Yossi, but rather a third position. And all the Rishonim ask, with regards to Shmuel's position, Shmuel's not a Tana, he's an Amora. How does he argue on Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi? So there must be a Tana that he's following in order for this to be the case that he can argue on Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi. So Rashbam claims that he is following the position of Rabbi Yossi. He really believes that Rabbi Yossi is right, that Eim Afsikin, despite the fact that Rabbi Yossi is right about Eim Afsikin, he's machmir on himself to say that I think it's better to make Kiddush before you eat the meal for Shabbat rather than after you eat the meal for Shabbat. So it's a nuanced difference in the sheet of Rabbi Yossi, which is, Eino Hanami, you don't have to stop the meal, so you don't have to bench and start a whole new meal just for Shabbat. But nevertheless, you want to give the deference to Shabbat, so you want to make the Kiddush. And that Kiddush then will be B'Kiddush Makom Sudan, it will define the meal that's ongoing after this to be like a meal of Shabbat. And so in order to do that, he's Rabbi Yossi plus. That's how the Rashbam deals with it. Rashi, on the second half of today's daf, when we speak, we're going to quote a Braita over there. Rashi's opinion with regards to that Braita is that the Braita is also speaking about this case. If that's true, then Shmuel could be holding like the Tano of that Braita, and that would allow him to argue on Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda. Balei HaTosafot quote the Rashbam and say that b'chinam dachak, he didn't have to do that. It was unnecessary to try to squeeze Shmuel into Rabbi Yossi's opinion because the Yushalmi says, we have a view from Yehuda b'shem Shmuel that zo divrei Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Yossi, that this whole issue of hafsaka is issue of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi. Aval chachamim omrim, poreis mapa'am mekadesh, meaning that they are deot yachid. They are singular opinions, both in whether you have to be mafsik or not mafsik. The mainstream opinion is that of the chachamim. So there is a Tano, or really Tanaim, that believe exactly this point, and that's who Shmuel is subscribing to, which is that the Chachamim believe that you're Pares Mapa Umikadesh. And what about the fact that, before we saw that Rabbi Yochanan, Paskin like Rabbi Yossi with regards to Erev Shabbat and Erev Yom Tov, which would seem to imply that you don't have to be Mafsik whatsoever, then why were we Paskin then, like Shmuel, and say Pares Mapa Umikadesh? Why does Shmuel's din any better than the Halacha that was presented by Rabbi Yochanan? He says that's not a problem because even though when you have a machloket Rabbi Yochanan and Shmuel, the halacha is like Rabbi Yochanan, in this case it's not clear that Rabbi Yochanan said it. We have two attributions, and one of the attributions was Rabbi Yochanan, the other one was Rabbi Yossi bar Rabbi Chanina. And therefore, we're going to pass like Shmuel that Pores Mapal Mikadesh in all these situations, plus the fact that Rav, later on in the Gemara, is going to agree with Shmuel. So you have Rav and Shmuel that are agreeing. You're not sure that you have Rabbi Yochanan who would trump Shmuel and Rav, but nevertheless, we're not sure that he said it. And even though it might be a safek, it's not a, what's called a safek shakul. We don't have equal parties on both sides of the machloket, and therefore we're going to paskin like Rav and Shmuel, and not like the opinion that says mafsik, and therefore you're poreis mapa umikadesh. More of Yehuda Shmuel says that you're poreis mapa umikadesh. Now it's not clear what exactly the poreis mapa does. Rashbam brings two possibilities as to what the poreis mapa does for you in this case. Either poreis mapa lamachal kedin kol shabbatot hashana, it's no different than a regular Shabbat, when you're poreis mapa, when you cover over the food, sheviu lechem ala shulchan kodem kiddush. If for whatever reason they brought the lechem too early, as we'll see on the second half of today's daf, then you cover it up while you make kiddush. And so this is no different. Since the lechem's on the table already, you cover it up and you make kiddush because they shouldn't be there, the meal, before you make kiddush. You're supposed to make kiddush and then bring the meal there. So in order to simulate the effect of bringing the meal after kiddush, we cover it up and then we uncover it afterwards as if now the meal is beginning, as if now the lechem has come, like you would do on any regular Shabbat of the year if you brought the meal before you had finished Kiddush. Inami, he brings a second possibility, Mishum Siluk Torah. It simulates the effect of being Oker the Shulchan to remove the table from in front of you. And so you're Pores Mapa in order to have the effect of actually removing the table. When you open it up, it's as if you brought the table back. And that's the way that you conduct yourself on a normal Erev Shabbat. We're going to see in a second in the upcoming Gemara that the proper procedure on a regular Shabbat would be that you make Kiddush, and then you bring the food or the table in front of you. So over here, you simulate that by covering over the table, and then when you open it up, it's as if you brought the table for the first time. Or it could be the Bidiyavad situation, which is on a regular Shabbat. Had they by accident brought the table before you made Kiddush, you cover over the table, and then you make Kiddush. And so here too, you're in a Bidiyavad situation, you cover it over, and then you make Kiddush, and then you uncover it again. So it's one of those two reasons that the Rashbam suggests why you would do this Pores Mapa Umikadesh. But again, according to him, it's all in the Shita of Rabbi Yossi, which means that you don't need to be mafsik. You don't need to bench. You don't need to stop. Now, once you've done the Pores Mapa Umikadesh, it's not clear here, besides the Kiddush, what you need to do. So according to many of the Rishonim, after you make the Kiddush, you don't say Bori Pir Gofen if you already made Bori Pir Gofen in the meal. Had you not made Bori Pir Gofen, then you would make it going into the Kiddush. Regards to a motzi, most of the Rishonim believe that you're in the middle of a meal. You haven't been mafsik in the middle of the meal, so therefore, you don't need to make a new hamotzi in terms of starting the meal afterwards. And what you'll do is you'll be Pores Mapa Kadesh, and then you'll take the bread, break the bread, and eat right afterwards without any bracha. Whereas the Rif over here suggests that after you are Pores Mapa Kadesh, you have to make a new hamotzi. You have to make a new hamotzi because it's the beginning of a new meal, or it's the effect of beginning a new meal, and therefore you have to make berichat hamotzi. The Baal HaMor, commenting on that riff, says that's very strange, because we never find a situation in which you make two berichot hamotzi, and then only bench once on those two berichot of hamotzi. If you have to make hamotzi, then you should have to bench. And if you have to bench, then you're paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, and you're not following this position of Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, which is Pores Mapa Umikadesh. You're basically saying that you have to be mafsik, which seems to not be the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, who says, I'm not like Rabbi Yehuda, and I'm not like Rabbi Yossi. So therefore, you have a machloket rishonim as to whether when you restart the meal, you need to make a brocha. That's one of the sfeikot that someone who does practice Pores Mapa Umikadesh has to deal with is, do you need to make a brocha or a new brocha after your Pores Mapa Umikadesh, which is a machloket between the Rif and many of the other rishonim. Mar says, Ini, is that really true that we hold of this Pores Mapa Mikadesh? V'amar Rav Tchlifa Bar Rav Dime Amar Shmuel, k'shem shemafsikim l'kiddush, kach mafsikim l'havdala. Just like we stop for Kiddush, we stop for Havdala. My mafsikin. Mafsikin sounds like Rabbi Yehuda, that lav l'kirat shulchan, that we do a full removal of the shulchan, meaning that we pass on like Rabbi Yehuda. How is it that Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel saying that we're Pores Mapa Mikadesh? And over here, you have a breita that seems to equate Kiddush with Havdalah. And as the Baal HaYetos Tosafot point out, with regards to Havdalah, Shmuel believes that you have to be mafsik the meal in order to do Havdalah. Whereas Rav later on the Gemara says that Havdalah is not koveya, and you continue the meal, and you only make the Havdalah later on. But if you require that you stop to make Havdalah, there's no concept of Pores Mapa Umikadesh. Because by Havdalah, there's no necessity to have a meal or sudat that's associated with it. So if you're telling me you have to be mafsik by Havdalah, that's clearly akirat ha-shulchan. So the equation would be, if you need akirat shulchan by Havdalah, that you certainly need akirat ha-shulchan by kiddush. And therefore, how could you claim that it's paris mapo mikadesh? It should be a necessity of akirat ha-shulchan. Where it says, lo, l'mapa, hadita radita. For Havdalah, hafsaka is akirat ha-shulchan. For kiddush, hafsaka means paris mapo mikadesh. That's the type of hafsaka that we're speaking about, and that's what Shmuel is saying. And therefore, Shmuel's statement is not contradictory with his previous statement, which is that pares mapa mikadesh. Shmuel over here, when he's saying hafsaka, means the hafsaka pares mapa umikadesh. Rabba bar Rav Huna, that's the girsa we have in our Gemara. The Rashbam has a different girsa of Rabba bar Bar Chano. Ikla bei reish galuta. He went to the house of the exilar. Aitu taka kamei. They brought a table in front of him. Again, in their day, they didn't have a big, large table like we did on it. They had smaller trays, TV trays type of tables that they brought out individually for each person. So here, when the Aititaka, they carried the Shulchan with the Chala on it, they brought it before him. Paras Mapa, he covered over, Vikidesh, and he made Kiddush. Tananami Hachi. We have a Breita that supports that view of what Rabba Bar Rav Huna or Rabba Bar Rav Chana did, which is, She'im Mivin et HaShulchan. You're not supposed to bring the table. Elim kein kiddush, unless you already made kiddush. Bimevi, if you preempted it and brought the table before you made kiddush, pareis mapa mikadesh. Then you put out a cloth over it, and you make kiddush. According to the Rashbam, and according to the Balei Tosafot, both the situation in which Rabba Bar Rav Huna was found, as well as the situation of the Braita, are a situation in which a regular Erev Shabbat, when they wanted to eat coming into Shabbat, they weren't eating early in the day and then needed to stop the meal in the middle. It was a case where Shabbat started. They were coming home from shul, and now they wanted to make kiddush. So what it's saying is that the proper way to do that is to make kiddush first, and then afterwards bring out the shulchan, because you make the bracha of kiddush, and then you start the meal afterwards. That's how, according to the shiltot, you have what's called yakra de shabto, that you have the honor of the Shabbat, because the meal then is clearly being brought for the kavod of Shabbat, because you made kiddush, you accepted Shabbat, you mekadesh the Shabbat, and now you bring the meal out. So that is the best way to honor the Shabbat. And that's the situation here that we're speaking about. The proper way, and that's what the Braita says, is to bring out the Shulchan after you've made Kiddush. But sometimes the people who are serving, they mistakenly bring out the table prior to you making Kiddush. And in that case, what do you do if it's brought out before you make Kiddush? So that's what Rabba Bar Rav Huna did. And that's what the Braita says you do is pares mapa mikadesh. You solve the problem by putting a mapa on it and being mikadesh. This is not similar. It's not like the case of Shmuel, where you're in a meal and you're interrupting it. This is a different case where you're starting from scratch, going into Shabbat, that the best way to do that is to make kiddush and then have the table brought out. If the table's already there, then you cover it and you make kiddush. The Rashbam then brings that there are others who say that it's a case where they were misubim al shulchan b'erev Shabbat, that they were already eating. And this is the case that Shmuel spoke about before, about Paris Mapa Mikadesh. And he says, Velo Nehirali. And he says, I'll prove that to you, because the Braita that we're talking about is the case where, again, they didn't start beforehand, but rather they were starting going into Shabbat. So when the response is Yesh Mifashim, that means that somebody else says it. If you look in Rashi, Rashi says exactly that. That in the case of the Braita, he says it is a case of Kidesh Yom. Even if he brought it beforehand, meaning that they started to eat even prior to the time of Kidesh Yom. And when it says that Ikla Bei Reish Galuta, it was subim al shulchan b'erev Shabbat b'kidesh aleim hayom. It was a case that they were eating early on Erev Shabbat, and then the day came in, and they were paris mapa and kadesh. So Rashi clearly sees both the Braita, as well as the incident that took place with the Reish Galuta, as a scenario in which it took place where they were eating already going into Shabbat, and then they had a question as to whether to be mafsik or not, and he acted by doing pares mapa mikadesh, which is highly supportive of that position of Shmuel. But that's the case. Now you have a Braita that's supportive of Shmuel's contention. As we mentioned before, that according to Rashi, this could be the source for Shmuel's opinion to argue on Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi, because now he has a Braita that supports his contention according to Rashi. According to Balei Tosafot and the Rashbam, speaking about a totally different case. The Balei Tosafot add over here, when you come into Shabbat, don't you want the table to be set and everything to be ready? Now, Tosafot quotes in the Gemara in Shabbat and Kuf Yud Tet, Amud Bet, which says that when the Malach accompanies a person coming home from Shul, He comes to see whether the table is set and everything is ready for Shabbat. According to the way that the Gemara is suggesting over here, the table is not going to be set because you're going to make Kiddush first and then bring the table in. So he suggests that when the table is set in the other room, that's what the Gemara means in Kuf Yutet, and then they bring it in. When it's already set, they bring it in, and that's what it means that the table is prepared. Whereas according to our practice today, where we have very large shulchanot and we don't move them in and out, then the idea would be that you set the table and everything be ready when you come home, and you make Kiddush on that large table that's already there. We're not going to ask you to lift the table out and bring it back. That's not a reasonable request. Never the table is going to be there. It's going to be set, and that makes sense. Now, with regards to whether you should have the challah on the table, we have a very different scenario today because our shulchanot are very large, and we don't move them in and out. They're there permanently. From the Rashbam, it seems like that it would actually be better if you didn't bring the challah out before Kiddush. Rather, you make Kiddush, and then you bring the challah out afterwards, like we're suggesting in the Braita over here in this case of Rabba Bar Bar Chana, according to the Rashbam. And therefore, you should only bring out the Lechem Mishneh after you've made Kiddush. If you brought it out beforehand, then we're going to cover it, but that's Bidiyavad. The Baya Tosfot, on the other hand, seem to indicate that maybe it is the Chatchila to have the challah out and cover it up because of two reasons. One possibility is because we want to go immediately from Kiddush into the Suda. So to have no delay between the Kiddush and the Suda, we want to have the challah ready and just cover it up, and then you can uncover it and go straight to the meal. It's not clear here whether Baya Tosfot is suggesting that you wash before Kiddush, and this is like the minhag of the Ramad of the Yekis, or he's saying that even if you have to wash in between, it's still better that the challah is already ready on the table. The other possibility that the Baya Tosfot bring is that it's based on the fact that the Lechem Mishneh is Zeche Leman, and the Man had a cover of dew underneath it and a cover of dew on top of it. To simulate that, we have the challah on the plate or the table and then a cover on top of it, and in that way, it is Zeche Leman, and therefore it should be on the table covered so that we have a Zeche Leman. There are Geonim that believe the reason that we cover the challah, Paris Mapo and Mekadesh here, if you bring the challah out, is not for any of the reasons mentioned in the Balei Tosafot, but rather because of the requirement that you have Bikdimut HaPasuk. When it comes to Brachot, Eretz Chita V'Sora, that tells you the hierarchy of which Bracha goes first. And when it comes to Chita, it's the first thing mentioned in the Pasuk. That would be the first item that you make a Bracha on. So that would be whether it's Mizonot or Hamotzi, those would take precedent and they would go first. The fact that you're making Bori Piyagofen is a breach of that hierarchy. So in order to reorder and not make it in a problem in terms of the hierarchy, we cover over the hamotzi or the mizonot, so that when you make the bari priya gofen, that's the only thing that's in front of you that you can make a bracha on. And then we uncover the halchalo or the mizonot, and we make that bracha, even though it's out of order, but we put it into order by covering it up and maybe we can believe, quote unquote, that it's not there until you finish with the kiddush, because it's appropriate to make kiddush first. But you can't make kiddush first if the precedence of bracha should be hamotzi. So in order to avoid that problem, we cover over the hamotzi. But here you would have a difference of opinion based on these as to what is the best scenario. According to the Rashbam, and maybe even according to this reasoning of the Geonim, it would be better not to have the challah on the table when you're making Kiddush. If it's already there, then we cover it. According to the reasons of the Balei Tosafot, then we want the challah there because that facilitates the Kiddush from Makom Suda very quickly. That is Zecher Leman. So we want it there and we cover it because of the reasons that we stated already or because of Zecher Leman. And therefore you would want to have the challah on the table when you're making Kiddush because it has value in terms of the Kiddush from Makom Suda and Zecher Leman. So that's actually a difference between how you explain this Pares Mapa Umikadesh as to what's the reason that you're covering over the challah. Is that a Bidiyabad or even the Chatchila? Now with regards to the Braita that we just read, the word Vishavin, it's not clear whether it belongs in there. The Rashbam writes, Vishavin doesn't belong in the Braita, because I have no idea what the reference is to. You have a Braita that's starting in the middle and saying Vishavim, and they agree. Well, what were they disagreeing about that now they're agreeing? So he says that he prefers the Girsa without Vishavim in it, and he thinks it got lifted from the upcoming Gemara that speaks about Shavim and Ein, and they put it into this Braita as if this was the Braita they were speaking about. But he thinks it's wrong. But he says if you do have the Girsa of Shavim, it's one of two possibilities, which is that Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda, who disagree with regards to Hafsakah, whether you have to stop a meal when you're in the middle or not, but with regards to starting a meal going into Shabbat, Rabbi Yossi will agree that better not to bring the food out until after you've made the Borei Priya Gofen. That'd be one way to explain the Shavin over here. The other way to explain the Shavin is based on the Machloket Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai in the Gemara and Brachot as to whether you wash your hands first and then you are Mosaic the Kos for Kiddush, or you're Mosaic the Kos for Kiddush and then wash your hands afterwards. So here it says, despite the fact that Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai argue that Modin, that we don't bring the food out until you finish making Kiddush. So even though they argue about the order of Netilat Yadayim and the preparation of the wine, they agree with the fact that you shouldn't bring the food out or the table out until after you make Kiddush. And he says those are the two possibilities how to explain it, if you're going to keep the girsa in, but he favors not keeping the girsa in. So Tani Chado, we have one bright that says Shavin She'ein Matchilin. They both agree that you don't start. Tanidach Shavin Shematchilim, that they agree that you do start. Bishlama de Tanya, that bright that says Shavin She'ein Matchilin, it says they both agree that you don't start. Mishkachadla, according to Rav Huna, Be'erev Pesach. That's because Rabbi Yossi agrees in Erev Pesach you shouldn't start the meal. Samach l'mincha ulemalo. So that's a case where Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi agree that you're not supposed to start a meal on Erev Pesach. El hadetanya shavin shematchilin. Where the brayta that says that they both agree that you can start. Eimat. When is that true? Inem Erev Shabbat. We're talking about Erev Shabbat or Erev Yom Tov. Hamiflo pligi. That's exactly where their machloket is. Where Rabbi Yossi says you can't start all the way up until Shabbat. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda believes that you have to stop samach l'mincha. When it says lokasha, kam kodem tisha, kam lachar tisha. Depends when on Erev Shabbat. If it's after the ninth hour, samuch l'mincha, then yes, you do have a machloket, and they don't agree. Rabbi Yossi says you can start a meal at that period of time. Rabbi Yehuda says you can't. And then if you're before samuch l'mincha, even Rabbi Yehuda agrees that you can start a meal then, because that's a zman heter when you can start the meal. Okay, then we're going to stop the daf here, and now we're just going to discuss the psak halacha with regards to Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda. Question is, who do we paskin like? Rashbam says, we know from here that the halacha is like Rabbi Yossi, because the Mstam Mishnah that we have here is that on Erev Pesach, you do have to stop. And according to Rav Huna, that's the sheet of Rabbi Yossi. And that means that we're paskening in the Mstam Mishnah like Rabbi Yossi. And if we paskin like Rabbi Yossi with regards to Pesach, that means that by Shabbat and Yom Tov, he disagrees. And that's why the Mishnah here only brings Pesach and not Shabbat and Yom Tov. If that's the case, then we're going to paskin like Rabbi Yossi with regards to Erev Pesach, and that Samuch L'mincha, like Rabbi Yehuda believes all the time, you cannot eat. Whereas by Erev Shabbat and Erev Yom Tov, we're going to paskin like Rabbi Yossi and say, you can eat all the way up until Shabbat. And that's the view of the Rashbam, that we paskin like Rabbi Yossi, because when you have a Machloke Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda, we paskin like Rabbi Yossi. And on top of that, you have a Mstam Mishnah that's supportive of Rabbi Yossi's position. Now with regards to Hafsaka, as well, if you started a meal behet there, whether you have to be mafsik, over there we're going to follow the shita of Rabbi Yochanan that brought that memra before that says the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda b'Erev Pesach. When it comes to after Pesach, you have to be mafsikin. Whereas with Erev Shabbat and Erev Yom Tov, we're going to pass on like Rabbi Yossi that ain mafsikin, that you do not have to stop. And then that will parlay into the question of Pares Mapan Mikadesh. The Rashbam believes that that is an extension of Rabbi Yossi. And therefore, we're going to paskin in cases where we would paskin like Rabbi Yossi, we're going to instead paskin like Shmuel and say Pores Mapan Kadesh. That means that Erev Shabbat and Erev Yom Tov, instead of just continuing the meal straight through, we're going to stop and do Pores Mapan Mikadesh, a quasi-stop there, in order to facilitate that the meal is L'Kvod Shabbat, and that the Kiddush is made before you eat the meal of Shabbat. That is the view of the Rashbam, and that is the way that the Balei HaTosafot at first bring the Psak Halacha. But then he brings a Mori, Rabbeinu Yechila, the Rechil Paris, says, may the Pasik Rabbi Yossi b'Afsaka. The fact that they Paskin like Rabbi Yossi b'Afsaka ba'uvda in this incident here, meaning the incident that happened with Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, where they Paskin that Mechlad d'Chadrila lo Kamilan Kavate. The fact that in that incident with Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, they Paskin like Rabbi Yossi with regards to Hafsaka, which means once you've already started what you have to do in terms of stopping, that implies that that's the only place that the halacha is like Rabbi Yossi, and not in the case of starting. And that means that we're going to paskin the halacha like Rabbi Yehuda with regards to starting. That means whether it's Erev Shabbat, whether it's Erev Yom Tov, whether it's Erev Pesach, you're not allowed to start once it comes after Samuch L'mincha. With regards to Mafsikim, okay, there we have the shita of Rabbi Yossi. By Shabbat and Yom Tov, we will not have a requirement of Hafsaka, and if you believe that Hafsaka turned into Pores Mapa Mikadesh with Shmuel, then you'll be in Pores Mapa Mikadesh. With regards to Pesach, Rabbi Yehuda trumps in both areas, because Rabbi Yossi, first of all, according to Rav Huna, agrees that you're not allowed to start after Samuch L'mincha, and we saw that Rabbi Yochanan Paskin, like Rabbi Yehuda, with regards to Hafsaka, and therefore you would have to stop, meaning you have to do Akirat HaShulchan, and you have to bench, and you have to restart the meal, according to this. That's the view of Rabbi Chil Paris. And that's very similar to the view of the Bahag, who not only comes to the same Psak Halacha that Rabbi Chilmi Paris is suggesting, but he says it in the sheet of Rabbi Yossi himself. The Baal HaTosfot quote from the Bahag, who suggests that even on Erev Shabbat and Erev Yom Tov, one should not eat min ha-mincha l'malo, because even Rabbi Yossi, who suggests over here that you don't have to stop, but he says, that's true by Hafsaka. Only by Hafsaka do we say that the Rabbi Yossi believes that you can just continue through it to Shabbat. But if you ask us, should you start the meal min ha-mincha l'malo? He says, no, that you shouldn't do that. And therefore, when the Gemara says that the machloket Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda is about Hafsaka, that means that we only paskin like Rabbi Yossi with regards to Hafsaka. And that means that we paskin like him by Erev Shabbat and Yom Tov with regards to Hafsaka. That means with the starting, we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda across the board. And therefore, you shouldn't start on Erev Shabbat and Erev Yom Tov a meal after Min HaMincha Ulemalo. The Rosh, based on the Rif, actually brings a third view as how to paskin. And he bases this on the Rif, even though later on he admits that the Rif's language doesn't exactly work out that way. Nevertheless, he believes that this is the correct way to read the Gemara. And he says that when the Gemara said at the beginning of today's daf, Elamil Chavarta Kid Rabbi Huna, that the distinction that we have to make between the other Mishnayot and the Mishnah here in Pesachim is based on a difference between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda, that Rabbi Yossi believes that only by Erev Pesach if the stock min ha-mincha malo, whereas Rabbi Yehuda believes that's true also by Erev Shabbat and Erev Yom Tov. And that's based on the Braita that we brought that showed that Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is consistent between Shabbat Yom Tov and Pesach. And therefore now when Rabbi Yochanan came and made his statement distinguishing between the Lachak of Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda, we saw that we're speaking about Hafsaka and not about Hatchala. Rosh says that answer is a Shinuya Dechika. That's a very difficult answer within Rabbi Yochanan's statement. And what the Rif thinks the Gemara did at this point was say, all right, we'll solve the problem for Rav Huna, but we'd much rather now at this point go back to Rav Papa's explanation, and that Rav Papa's explanation fits very well into Rav Yochanan's statement without having to undermine it and say it's speaking about Hafsaka. And the only thing we'll have to change is the fact that the Braita that we brought before undermines it, but that Braita we thought might be Mishabeshta, but we had another Amora that said it wasn't Mishabeshta, but that's one Amora against another Amora, and Rav Papa was a Batra. We'll hold like them that it is a Mishabeshta, it is a problematic Braita. And therefore, the Rosh suggests here, we hold like Rav Papa that Rabbi Yehuda is the author of all these Mishnayot, including the Mishnah here in Pesachim. And that Rabbi Yossi disagrees across the board and believes that you never have to start early. And therefore, Rabbi Yochanan's statement comes along and says, we paskin like Rabbi Yossi with Erev Shabbat and Erev Yom Tov, they do not have to start before Min HaMincha Ulemalo, whereas by Erev Pesach, we paskin like our Mishnah, which according to Rav Papa, follows the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda, and therefore you have to start before Samuch LaMincha in order for it to be okay on Erev Pesach. But that means that the only thing addressed in this statement of Yochanan is about starting meals. When it comes to Hafsaka, that is all governed by Shmuel's statement of Pores Mapa Umikadesh. If you think like the Rashbam that Shmuel is built on top of Rabbi Yossi, then you're paskin like Rabbi Yossi across the board, the name of Sikin, and that'll be equally applicable to Erev Shabbat, Erev Yom Tov, and Erev Pesach. The din will be the same across the board with regards to that. And that's the view of the Rosh. And therefore we have now at least three different ways to read the Psak Halacha. We'll go through them quickly again to review. The Pashtuta Gemara is the way that the Rashbam paskins, which is, the Halacha is like Rabbi Yossi with regards to Matchilin on Erev Shabbat and Erev Yom Tov, you can start whenever you want. With regards to Matchilin Erev Pesach, like Rav Huna says, but even Rabbi Yossi agrees, ain't Matchilin. With regards to Mafsikin, we have that Halacha of Rabbi Yochanan, that the Halacha is like Rabbi Yossi when it comes to Shabbat and Yom Tov, that ain't Mafsikin. And if you want to say that Shmuel's Din is an extension of Rabbi Yossi, Pares Mapa Mikadesh. And with regards to Mafsikin Erev Pesach, we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. And that you have to be mafsik, it's not enough to do Pares Mapa Mikadesh, it's not enough just to continue. That would be the Pashtuta Gemara, and that's the way that the Rashbam learns. The Bahag, on the other hand, says that when it comes to Matchilin Erev Shabbat, we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, that ain't Matchilin, that we don't start to eat. Meaning that on Erev Shabbat, Erev Yom Tov, Erev Pesach, in all those situations, we're going to say ain't Matchilin. When it comes to Mafsikim, there we have the din of Rabbi Yochanan. And the din of Rabbi Yochanan is, with regards to Erev Shabbat, we're going to say Ein Mafsikin. On the other hand, with regards to Erev Pesach, there we say Mafsikin. You do have to stop because over here the Locha is like Rabbi Yehuda, and we're going to use the explanation of the Chatam Sofer over here to help understand the Bahag, which is that the Chatam Sofer connects between starting a meal and Mafsikin for a meal. The whole purpose here is to make sure that you have a good appetite. So the best way to keep you hungry is not to start a meal at all. If you already did start a meal, then being mafsik, stopping the meal in the middle, is actually detrimental to your appetite, and you will then become filled up and satiated, and then you, when you start the new meal, you're not going to want to eat. So it's better to continue. So if you want to make it that the person is teavon, there are one of two ways to create teavon. One is not to start the meal at all. But if you have started the meal, it is to continue onward. And therefore, that's how the Chatam Sofer explains the view of the Bahag.
So therefore, Rabbi Yossi Lishitato says, Eimafsikin, you're not allowed to stop, or you don't have to stop. If you don't stop, that's going to keep you eating, keep your appetite intact. And we saw that in the Balei HaTosafot in yesterday's daf, that as long as a person is eating in the same meal, they have in mind or they're conscious of the fact that they still need to eat more, and therefore they won't fill themselves up, and they will have room for to have an appetite or to eat that which they need, b'teavon, later on. So as long as you keep the meal going, Rabbi Yossi is not worried. Problem is that we don't paskin like Rabbi Yossi, because we turn Rabbi Yossi into Pores Mapo Mikadesh. And once you're Pores Mapo Mikadesh and you stop the meal at any point, Rabbi Yossi already says that's going to cause you to fill up. Well, if it's going to cause you to fill up and be satiated and you're not going to have a teavon later on, then you can't start the meal. And therefore, what the Chatam Sofer points out is, by Erev Pesach, we're consistent. Over there, we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda that you have to be mafsik, and we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, or like Rabbi Yossi, who agrees with Rabbi Yehuda, that you may not eat a meal after Samuch L'mincha U'lamalo. And so those two are consistent to maintain an appetite. By Erev Shabbat and Erev Yom Tov, we seem to be inconsistent. We're paskin like Rabbi Yossi that you don't have to be mafsik, and we're paskin like Rabbi Yossi, or really Rabbi Yehuda, that you're not allowed to be matchil, that even Erev Shabbat and Erev Yom Tov, you can't start a meal. So what happened to Rabbi Yossi with regards to Erev Shabbat and Erev Yom Tov of eating straight till Shabbat and straight till Yom Tov? Well, what the Chatam Sofer says is that was true when we paskin like Rabbi Yossi that ain't mafsikin. If you say ain't mafsikin going into Shabbat and Yom Tov, then we don't worry about you starting a meal late in the day, because you'll have in mind and you'll continue to eat and know, pace yourself so that you'll have enough room at the end to eat whatever you have to eat, whether it's a meal for Shabbat, meal for Yom Tov, or theoretically, if it was Pesach, to eat the matzah b'teavon. But in a case that we already switched from Rabbi Yossi to say that we're passing like Shmuel, that Pores Mapo Mikadesh, and you're going to be mafsik in the meal, once you say that, that's going to cause you to become satiated. If that's the case, then we have to also change our psak with regards to eating late on the day on Erev Shabbat and Erev Yom Tov, and we're going to have to say you have to stop, really, mincha olamala, even on Erev Shabbat, even on Erev Yom Tov, and really it's shittat Rabbi Yossi, because Rabbi Yossi, who believes ain't mafsikin, says you can eat through the day. But once we change Rabbi Yossi to Shmuel and say that you are mafsik with Pores Mapo Mikadesh, then you also have to say on Erev Shabbat and Erev Yom Tov that you can't continue eating all day. And that will be the logic behind the Bahag's position. Then we have the din of the Rosh, who says that with regards to the din of Rabbi Yochanan, it's actually speaking about Hatchala and not about Hafsaka. And therefore, the halacha is like Rabbi Yossi on Erev Shabbat and Erev Yom Tov. You can eat all the way through the day, no problem. With regards to Matchilin on Erev Pesach, we're going to pass like Rabbi Yehuda. That means that you have to stop early, samuch l'mincha. With regards to hafsakah, there's no difference between Erev Shabbat and Erev Pesach, and therefore you don't have to be mafsik in either of them. You don't have to be mafsik on Erev Shabbat, you don't have to be mafsik on Erev Pesach. The only thing you have to do is, if you think that Shmuel's halacha becomes halacha, Pores Mapo Mikadesh, then maybe you have to be Pores Mapo Mikadesh in both of those instances, but you don't have to be mafsik the meal at all, and that's the view of the Rosh. The logic behind the Rosh's position that he says in the Rif is the following: that Hatchala and Hafsaka are totally different issues. Hatchala has to do with prospectively looking at what we're trying to create, or the environment that we're trying to create in the evening that's coming up. With regards to Shabbat and Yom Tov, all you need is Tanug in that night. We don't need any Achila that is Bitei Avon. We just need you to enjoy what you eat on that night. And therefore, even if you have meals late in the day, we're not worried about the fact that you're going to actually enjoy your meal that night. On the other hand, with regards to Pesach, where there's a requirement to eat the matzah b'tei avon, there we have a different criteria, and therefore we would say that b'hatchala, that you have to stop eating much earlier, and that's why he paskins like Rabbi Yehuda with regards to hatchala. When it comes to hafsaka, there are three different reasons that are brought in terms of being mafsik. One is so that you eat better at night. Number two is so that you have sufficient time to prepare for the meal that night. And number three is simply that it is not proper kavod HaShabbat, kavod HaYom Tov, to have such a big meal going into the nighttime. And so those are all equally applicable on Erev Shabbat, Erev Yom Tov, and Erev Pesach. And therefore he passes across the board that Ein Mafsikin or Pores Mapo Mikadesh like Shmuel. That's the logic behind the Rosh, in addition to the fact that he passes like Rav Papa and not like Rav Huna, and that gives him the distinction between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda with regards to starting, whereas with regards to Hafsaka, he has the halacha like Rabbi Yossi or like Shmuel across the board. The last part of this Psak halacha, before we go to Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah, is based on a Gemara in Daf Lamed Ched Amud Bet in Gittin, which makes a suggestion that there were these families that became impoverished because of the fact that they were not miyakir, they did not give kavod Shabbat. And one of the things that they did incorrectly was that they used to eat a meal or have a koveya suda on Erev Shabbat. So now all the Rishonim over there in the Gemara and Gittin have to reconcile that Gemara and Gittin with our Gemara over here, which says that we paskin like Rabbi Yossi according to Rabbi Huna, and that it's fine to eat on Erev Shabbat and Erev Yom all the way until the beginning of Shabbat and Yom Tov. So the chiluk they come up with is a distinction between what type of meal it is, and that's why the Shulchan Aruch paskin
in Reish Mem Tet Seif Bet
Asur Likbab Erev Shabbat Suda Umishteh She'enu Ragil B'Meichol. Can't have a meal that you don't normally have on a weekday. Even if it is for a wedding, you can't have unusual meals on Erev Shabbat. That's like the Gemara in Gittin, that you can't eat something on Erev Shabbat. In order that you come in there with an appetite. And the Isur is not just Samuch L'Mincha. This is a different problem of coming into Shabbat properly hungry. That is that you can't eat any unusual meals on Erev Shabbat. And that starts from the morning on Erev Shabbat. Haggah. The only exception the Ramah points out is Sudat Shizmanai Erev Shabbat. If you have a mitzvah that falls out on Erev Shabbat, not like a wedding which you're planning on Erev Shabbat, but something that has to fall on Shabbat, could go on Erev Shabbat like a Brit Milah or Pidyon HaBen, then it's mutar, because that's a minhag pashut that you can eat those meals, because that's the Zmana. For the Chol Lishto Beli Kviyut Suda, the Shulchan Aruch continues, if they eat without a Kviyut Suda, Filu Suda Shivigila Babachol. Even a meal that you normally eat on Chol, Kol Ayom Mutar Lachil Min Adin. Minadin, you can do that all day long. That's like Rabbi Yossi in our Gemara here, and that's the way we pass them, like an Erev Shabbat and Erev Yom Tov. The halacha is like Rabbi Yossi, unlike the Bahag, similar to the way the Rosh and the Rashbam and the Bali Tosafot paskin. Of a mitzvah, limanem lekvah sudash and ogba b'chol, mitei cha'ot ulemala. Nevertheless, it's still a good idea to not eat a meal, even if it's a meal that you normally eat on chol, from the time of Samuch L'Mincha and onwards, a little bit of a deference to the Reb Chiyom Paris, the Chatchila, we're choshesh for the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda, and that gives us Psak Halacha with regards to Erev Shabbat, Erev Yom Tov, and Erev Pesach.
And one thing to keep in mind, the Be'er Halacha points out, is that even though we paskin like Rabbi Yossi, with regards to the fact that you can eat all the way into Shabbat and into Yom Tov, once Shabbat starts, it's actually a machloket between the Or Zeruah and the Darche Moshe, the Ramah. The Or Zeruah says, and the Magen Avraham agrees with him, that Rabbi Yossi agrees, once you come into Shabbat, that you need to stop eating and focus on eating the Hamotzi and the meal for Shabbat, Vitei Avon. On the other hand, the Darche Moshe says, according to Rabbi Yossi, that you can eat all afternoon on Shabbat, all afternoon on Yom Tov, you can continue to eat all the way into Shabbat and Yom Tov before you make Hamotzi. Whenever you decide to make Hamotzi, that'll be fine as well. The Nafkamino actually comes up in the mornings when people make Kiddush and then they have Mizonot afterwards and not Pat. So the question is, are you allowed to do that? According to the Or Zeruah and according to the Magen Avraham, the Be'er Halacha says there might be some question with that because you're not supposed to fill yourself up before you have Pat. You're supposed to eat the Pat L'Teavon. Therefore, you shouldn't be eating Mizonot before you eat the Pat. He says, even if you hold like the Darche Moshe, that you can eat mizonot, and he says the minhag by us is to make kiddush and have mizonot and then eat the meal later, one has to be very careful not to fill themselves up on the kiddush so that they don't eat the meal with the teavon, because that's the main aspect of tzudat Shabbat, and therefore one has to preserve their teavon so they eat the pot on Shabbat, the teavon. That might be the Iker Adin, according to the Or Zeruah, the Magen Avraham, in Rabbi Yossi. And even according to the Darche Moshe, you still have to eat the teavon because you have to be careful. He just allows you to do it, but you still have to be careful about that.
Okay, we're going to stop here.